people. Archaeologists estimate that they've been there for some 1,500 years. And in that time, about 500 years ago, a man by the name of Ferdinand Magellan was sailing around the world, and he discovered Guam. And when he was leaving, he left behind his Catholic chaplain there. And from there, the Catholic Church just started to spread out. He planted the first Catholic church there. And now, in all of Guam's 24 villages, they have 27 Catholic churches. So one church for each village with three to spare. Now, I would like to ask all of us here, why can't we do that? Why can't we have a church in every village, a soul-winning, Baptist, Bible-believing church in every village reaching the people for Christ? If they can do it, we sure can too. But when we were over there, God gave me the opportunity to go soul winning with my partner. You saw him in the video. He's the fellow I took that picture with, the Filipino fellow, Brother Conrad. Brother Conrad, if you ever have the chance to go soul winning with a Filipino fella, take it. It's exciting. You talking about a people that are on fire for God. And when they start talking fast, you can't understand a word they're saying. So we were going soul winning with him and knocked on this one lady's house. And she opened up. She was a Chamorro lady, and we told her we were from the Bethel Baptist Church down the road, out inviting people to church. And you could tell she didn't want to talk to us. So she finally opened up a little bit and said, well, I'm from the so-and-so Catholic Church down the road. And we kept trying to talk about the gospel and talking about salvation, but she didn't want to talk about that, but she didn't want to talk about the flowers in her garden. So we started talking about that, and they were beautiful flowers. And trying to find a way to weave that conversation back to the Lord. And she made a comment to me that I'll never forget. Let's see if I can remember it word for word. I wish there was a way that I could go to God directly to ask for forgiveness of sin and not go to a priest. Now, Matthew 27:51 teaches a biblical doctrine and a Bible principle. And that was that when Christ yielded up the ghost, when he gave up the ghost there on the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. What that means is that that is a representation of the fact that you and I, we don't need an earthly intercessor to go before, between us and the Lord. We can go to the Lord ourselves. We have our own, it's the priesthood of the believer. You know who my priest is? My priest is Jesus Christ. And he is there right now in heaven between me and God, offering his blood for my sins. I praise the Lord that I don't have to go through a pastor, a missionary, or an evangelist to ask for forgiveness. I've got God himself. And it is such a basic principle that you and I, we understand it. If you're tonight, you're a born-again believer, you understand that principle. But there are people all across the world, and even here in Ohio, that don't understand that. That have never been told that. Imagine one day opening up your eyes in a devil's hell, having lived your whole life knowing the name of Jesus Christ, knowing about God, knowing all about that, but never having had a personal relationship with Him. Having been so close and yet so far. That's what the people of Chamorro have been up to, and that's what's happened to them in the past hundreds of generations. When we were there, we were at the we got to go to the Catholic cemetery there in Yigo, the largest cemetery there on the island. Dates all the way back to when Magellan first came. So if you're a history buff, it's a very interesting place to go. But my wife made the comment to me as we were walking along, and she said, how many of these people are in hell right now? How many of them are in hell right now that thought they were there, that thought they were going to go to heaven, and yet open their eyes one day in hell? The second ministry I'd ask you to pray with us about is our servicemen and women. A little bit about my dad's testimony. My dad grew up in a drunkard's home. He never heard the name of Christ or about God unless they were being cursed, the names being used in vain. And just never went to church until he married my mom. And finally, when he married my mom, she was born and raised, she was saved as a young Christian girl, raised in a Christian home. And he decided he did not want to raise a family in that kind of environment, in a drunkard's environment. So he joined the U.S. Navy to get out of there. And finally, when he was coming home from work one day, he got on board the bus, and he looked down on the ground, and he saw a little church tract. And so he picked it up, he started reading it on the way home, and he got saved. when he got home, he went to my mom and said, hey, we got to start going to church somewhere this Sunday. So they looked in a phone book. You young people in here don't know what a phone book is. Count your blessings. You haven't lived until you've been whooped with one. But they looked in a phone book, and they were rather discouraged, because when you look up the word church in a phone book, you get a buffet of options. And they went back to that track, and it said So-and-So Baptist Church, and they started going to Baptist Church that Sunday. I say that to say this. I don't know where I would be right now, and I would not be saved. My dad would not be saved. My sister would not be saved. If it wasn't for someone, if it wasn't for one Christian who was willing to reach our servicemen and women for Christ, if it wasn't for somebody willing to just hand out a gospel tract, I don't even know the story behind it. Don't know who passed it out. Maybe they got cussed out. I don't know. But I praise the Lord that somebody was willing to do it. You know, the Department of Defense in the year of 2021 released a statistic. I haven't seen any updated statistics. If you have, please tell me afterwards. But they said that for the year of 2021, 8.5 servicemen committed suicide daily. I wonder if we could get that number down, if we would just be willing to be a witness, if we would be willing to go out and give our servicemen and women the gospel. People that put their freedom on the line, their lives on the line to protect the freedom that you and I are exercising tonight. You and I, we do realize that it's a precious gift to do what we're doing. There are two types of freedom in this world. There's eternal freedom and there's temporal freedom. Eternal freedom is bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. But temporary freedom is bought and paid for by the blood of those willing to sacrifice their lives. Our servicemen and women are doing that. So please keep us in your prayers. Those are the two main ministries that the Lord is calling us to focus on. When we get over there, we are excited to get over there and start doing something for the Lord. We're praying about possibly getting over there this fall. Please be in prayer with us about that. Still have several things left to go in on the itinerary to get there. And we're just excited. We just want to see God do something. We want to see Him. We want to see Him just work. Now, if you wouldn't mind getting a prayer card at the end of the service at the table in the back, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. If you do not have a prayer card, please get one. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is such a true statement. So many stories I could tell you of how many times our lives have been personally saved, physically saved, because somebody was praying for us. So please keep us in your prayers. Now, if you do have a prayer card, you will notice that there's a problem on here. You will notice that there's three of us instead of four of us. I'm just going to blame my wife for that. But don't worry, she'll get me back later. But a little Owen is not on here. So at the end of the service, for $5, I will draw you a little stick figure baby on the prayer card. It's not going to look good, but he will be on the prayer card. I'll even put his name right next to it. But anyway, please keep us in your prayers. And it's just been amazing to see what the Lord has been doing. If you wouldn't mind turning with me to Psalm chapter 43. Not Psalm, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 43. I was reading Psalms earlier and I had that on the mind. Isaiah chapter 43, I want to say thank you to Pastor and thank you to everybody here for allowing us to be here tonight. I remember the first time we met, it was Dr. Hamlin introduced us to each other a couple months ago. And Dr. Hamlin's one of my heroes, so it's just a blessing to be back here and to preach behind the same pulpit he did. And that's just, to me, I'm kind of geeking out about it. I'm excited. But Isaiah chapter 43, if you wouldn't mind standing with me if you're able to as we read the Word of God tonight, we'll read the first seven verses. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you please bless the service tonight. Please fill me with your Spirit and with your power. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be from you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful time together. We pray that if there be anybody here that is not saved, that does not know you as personal Savior, please work on their hearts tonight and get them saved. If there be anybody here that isn't quite right with you, Lord, please work on their hearts and please get them right with you tonight. Please work on all our hearts tonight and please bless this time of fellowship in your house. In your blessed name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Pastor said I was from Kentucky. Now, we got to get a few things straight. Okay, I may be from Kentucky, but I got all my teeth. I may be from Kentucky, but I am wearing shoes to church. I had to get that one out. I do that every time we go up to Michigan. My wife's from Michigan, and she, every church we go up to, they all make fun of me because I'm the Kentucky hick. So, I love that. I love those jokes. But, here lately, I want to be a, Lord knows my heart, and I want to try and be a blessing tonight. We notice that many times in everyone's life, we all go through struggles and trials. And just giving a little bit of backstory as to why I'm preaching this message tonight, I've been on the phone several times this week of friends and family that I know that are having a very difficult time. The devil's hitting them hard. And so I was reading scripture the other day and thought of this and remembered this message, and just the Lord laid it on my heart to preach it tonight. And so my heart is to try and be a blessing to someone here tonight, just try and be an encouragement. Here in this passage of scripture, it's a very peculiar passage of scripture. The Lord is talking to the people of Israel. Now, bear in mind, this is the Old Testament, and we often joke around saying that God was completely different in the Old Testament, that He was a lot tougher in the Old Testament. That statement's a little true, but you have to remember who He was dealing with and all the stuff that they were doing to make Him be so tough on them. The children of Israel were insane people at some points in the Old Testament. I don't blame the Lord for the stuff He had to do. But here in the passage of Isaiah, He is doing something very, very interesting, and He's just trying to be encouraged. He's trying to love on His children. And we see what He says, and we see really the Lord showing who He is, just as a father shares with his child. That's what thought in anyone's eyes. His word is holy. He preserved his word in this blessed book. That is our Father. Our Father is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is our Father. Our Father's authority is over everybody, not just over the child of the king, but over every single creature on this earth, every creature alive, every creature crawling on this earth. God is over him. God is showing us his authority. You know what? The children of Israel, they've been up against so many nations. They've been up against so many foreign peoples. But you know what God is establishing in here? We see first in verse number 1, look with me. O Jacob, and he that formed thee. Hey, I'm the God that made thee. I'm the God that created thee. I am the beginning. I am the end. Nothing gets by me. I created thee. O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. He's showing us he's the Redeemer. Praise God, we have the Redeemer. Praise God, the Redeemer is our Father. By thy name, thou art mine. Hey, he's saying, I have authority over you. I'm your Father. You're my child. There's no reason to fear. We may go through some dark times. We may go through some struggles. We may go through some trials. But hey, we have the Redeemer, and he has bought us by the blood of the Lamb, and he is telling us, hey, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm right here. That's what the Lord's wanting us to know. The world is out to get us. It's amazing what you see when you turn on the news, isn't it? I'm surprised that some people are able to watch it longer than 5 minutes. I almost get a stomach ulcer if I look at it too long. It's insane. Every day, it's like they're having a personal challenge to just get worse and worse. Every day, it's something new. You don't think it can get worse, but hey, they beat you to it. I'm glad I don't gamble because I'd have lost a lot of money on that gamble. But hey, the Lord's saying, this world, yeah, this world's dark. This world's always going to be dark. It's going to get darker. It's going to get worse. But hey, don't focus on that. Focus on me. Focus on the Lord. Focus on that. Focus on the fact that the Redeemer, we are bought by the blood of the Lamb. He is in charge. He is our Heavenly Father. He is in authority over all. I don't know about you, but that's enough to get me excited. That's enough to make me want to start running glory laps around the building. Y'all ever seen the glory lap? We were joking around at dinner today. My mom's from Southeast Kentucky, okay? I've seen a lot of weird things. She's from the old snake handling churches, okay? I've seen some weird stuff. But hey, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You know, God knows every single one of us by name. God knows every hair on our head. God knows every problem we have. God knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about every one of us. And the Lord's telling us, hey, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Number 2, verse 2, look with me real quick. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Number 2, we see his place. We see his place. And the fact that God is there with us. We will go through trials, and they may not feel so good. We may feel overwhelmed. Those trials will not destroy us. God is there to help us. He's there to help us. It's amazing about how God is always in his place. When we're on the mountaintop rejoicing in the blessings and we're having the time of our lives, God's still there. When we're down in the valley and we're struggling and we're having hardship, guess what? God is still there. And we're seeing in this verse, the Bible shows us two illustrations here that are very interesting. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. You know what I'm seeing right now? I'm seeing a fellow that's walking through the river, and and the river's getting higher. The water is getting higher and higher and higher to the point that he's having to keep his head up high just to keep from drowning. Have we ever experienced that before? I remember we used to go swimming quite a bit when Dad was in the Navy. We were stationed on Guam for a little bit, for 2 years. And we used to go swimming, and the water scared me to death. You know why? Because for some reason, my dad would always tell us stories about this kid that didn't do right and ended up drowning in the river. And we're surrounded by water. So I'm scared to death. Finally, we go to the ocean one day, and I'm afraid to go past the water that's up to my ankles. I'm not getting in there. That and the fact there's sharks out there. I ain't touching that. Don't know. I ain't fooling with that. My dad brings me along and says, no, come on, I'm going to teach you how to swim. And my dad stayed with me the whole time. And yeah, the water would sometimes get kind of high, get rather worrisome, but I knew my dad was right there, so if anything happened, I could grab on to him. If anything happened, my dad would be there to save me. If anything happened, my dad would be there to help me. Let me tell you what, I'm not belittling trials or belittling struggles. Please understand my heart. What I'm trying to say is that though it may seem that we can't bear it, though it may seem that they overwhelm us, though it may seem that we're about to drown in the struggles, we have a Heavenly Father that is still in His place. He's not left us, and He can help us through the trials. He can help us through the struggles. He's not left us. He is still in His place. God is there to help us when we need Him. Oh, how many times we've been on the road and we've had a trial, we've had a struggle, and my goodness, we feel like we're just going to lose it. We feel like everything's going to fall apart. And lo and behold, God never left where He was. God's still there, and He ends up helping us through it. Oh my, even Pastor can attest to that. This, every one of us born-again believer, if you look back in your life, you can attest to that too. You can attest to the fact that God has helped you through a trial. Let us just remember the place where God is. Let us remember that God is still there, and He will help us through the struggles, and He will help us through the trials. We also see the second illustration here, which is very interesting. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, here lately I've been doing some studying on blacksmithing. When we're going through hotels, and we're in hotels a lot, but I like to turn on the TV, past the news, of course, and I like to watch those blacksmithing shows. I like to see what fellas can make, what they can forge. It's very interesting to me. And one of my buddies there in Indiana, he started doing what I was doing, but he went on Amazon and he bought himself a beginner's forge. I'm telling you, you can buy anything on Amazon. Anything. I really want to look and see if you can buy a coffin on Amazon just to see what the options are. But you can just get anything off that website. So he orders it, and I stopped by his house on our way passing through, and I got to play around with it. I'm just a big kid with those things. I got to play around with the forge. And I learned a few things about forging that I did not know. One of those is that I did not know that it was possible to burn metal. I don't know why I never thought about that. To melt metal, I understood. Yeah, get it hot enough, any metal will melt. But to burn it, that's very interesting. And I started studying what the principle was behind that. And the blacksmiths, what they'll do is they'll stick that piece of metal into the forge for a while and crank up the heat. It gets really hot in there. And you'll see the blade or metal start to turn red, and you'll see it start to heat up. But they've got to be real careful about it. They've got to pull it out just in time, because if they're not careful about it, that metal will get burned. And when it's burned, it's completely useless. You have to start with a whole new piece of metal. You can't use that metal anymore. And so they'll pull that piece of metal out, and they'll quench it, and they'll cool it down a little bit, and it starts to harden. It starts to thicken, makes it stronger. And then they pull the metal back out, and guess what they have to do again? They have to put it back into the fire. It has to heat up again and go through the entire same process. What the Lord's saying here is, hey, we're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through a trial. You're going to go through circumstances. But it's not going to be so much so that it's going to damage you beyond repair. God's going to make sure He pulls you out of the fire before that. And God's going to make sure that we're going to have that quench. He'll cool it off. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got a Father that knows right when to pull us out of it? Isn't it wonderful to know that our Father's not just going to let us stay in there and burn? I know if I was God, I'd probably forget about the person I had in the fire in the first place. My memory is awful. But praise God, He remembers all of us and He knows, hey, I know Thomas can't bear this much more. I'm going to pull him out of the fire for a little bit. I'm going to quench him. I'm going to let him cool. I know so-and-so can't bear this anymore. I'm not going to let him burn, even to the point that the clothes are not going to be set on fire. He knows how much we can handle and He's willing to help us with what we are in. The times of struggle and the times of trial, He's willing to help us. He's willing to pull us out. Let me tell you what, though, often these times of struggle, just like the metal that the blacksmiths and the forges use, they're meant to heat up and they're meant to strengthen the metals. They're meant to strengthen those. I remember one lady, I grew up with her in teen department there at Clay's Mill. Her name was Bibian. And she, a couple years ago, it was 2016. To me, that was like yesterday. But she, her dad and her mom, sister, and two brothers, so five of them, went down to Texas. And they got in a horrible car accident. It was to the point the only two that survived were the mom and the sister. All three of the others perished. They were dead right there. And that girl, I watched her. Because I was thinking, you know, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't think I can handle it. And I watched that girl. I'll tell you what, that girl was an encouragement to me. That girl, you know what she ended up doing? It was a trial. It was heartbreaking. But she used it to serve the Lord and she used it to grow closer to the Lord. That time of struggle, that time of trial, and instead of just getting mad at God and just blaming God for everything, and what we would naturally do, she decided, you know what, I'm going to see what God has in this, I'm going to see why God did this, I'm just going to keep serving the Lord. You know, she's married now, she's working as a secretary at a Baptist church right now. She's still serving the Lord, she's still doing what's right. My friend, though we go through circumstances and trials, we can use that to make ourselves stronger in the Lord, to make ourselves grow closer to the Lord. As just as that piece of metal gets heated up and gets stronger by every quench and back into heating, that's what we need to be doing with the Lord. Number three, look with me in verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Number 3, we see His position. You realize that Ethiopia and Seba, at this time in history, they were two of the most powerful countries in the world, two of the most richest countries in the world. And you know what the Lord's talking about them? He's saying, first off in verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God. He's establishing, hey, I'm the God of heaven. I'm the God who created the universe in 6 literal days. I am God Himself. There is no other. I am the beginning and the end. I'm all there is, buddy. He's establishing that right there. The Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. These are some titles He's given Himself right here, some very big titles. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. He's telling the people of Israel, hey, I am God of heaven. I am the God. I am the God. I am so much, so powerful that I gave the two richest nations in the world for thee. I gave them to you. I am there for you. I am the God that you serve. It is amazing how many times in the Old Testament you have all these heathen nations that they'll serve all these other random gods, and it almost seems like they've got a new God of the week sometimes that they show up in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. But it's always amazing how whenever they go up and whenever they try and pit their God up against the God of Israel, the God of heaven, guess who always comes out on top? It is always the God of heaven. It is always the God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. The same God that wrote this book and preserved this book. The same God that we now serve today and that we are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. That is the same God we serve. And that same God is in position over us. And that same God is in authority over us. Let me tell you what, He is the God of heaven. We need to start remembering that God is not just a vending machine that we can go to for prayer. God is not just some feeble old individual that can't do things. God can do anything He wants. God can answer any prayer He wants. God is the controller of the whole universe. It is God that controls the weather. It is God that controls everything in life, who lives, who dies. It is God that controls everything. Nothing gets past Him. That is the God we serve. That is the God that saved us. And God's establishing His position that, hey, He's reminding Israel, do you know who I am? I am God. Praise the Lord. That's who we serve. We serve the one true God of heaven. I tell you what, we don't serve some dead gods like what some religions have. We don't serve some people that are nothing but bound up in a tomb. I was talking to a pastor of a church in Maryland. He was on a missions trip to New Zealand one time, and he saw two Muslim fellas, and he started witnessing to them. And he went up to them, said, "Yes, I know we have some differences, but I want to know what we can agree on. And then we'll talk." And so he brought up the points of salvation, and he said, "Hey, can we all agree that we're all sinners? Can we all agree that you and I, we've all sinned, we're not holy?" And they agreed with him. Two Muslim fellas, they agreed with him. Then he asked him, "Hey, can we all agree that the price for that sin is eternity in hell?" They agreed with him. 100% they agreed with him. And then he asked, "Can we agree that the one who paid the payment for that sin is Jesus Christ and He's the only way to go to heaven?" Nope, we're going to stop you right there. We're going to stop you. "Well, why don't you believe that? Where are we not meeting on this?" And they made a statement. "Because we don't believe that our God loves us enough that He would send His Son to die for us." That's the God that other people have. Let me tell you what, the God that we serve, and if you're a born-again believer, the God that saved you is the God that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. The 2,000-some-odd years ago, when we weren't even a thought in anybody's eyes, before existence even knew our name, God knew your name, God knew my name, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Let me tell you what, the only one who could have known about Thomas Belcher 2023 years ago is God Himself. The only one who would have known about you 2023 years ago is God Himself, the God of heaven, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That is the God we serve. That is the God that has saved us, and He's showing us who He is. Let us remember, hey, though we go through the struggles and we go through the hard times and we go through the heartaches, this is the one, this is the fellow that's right next to us. The God that was there at the very beginning of the universe wants you to lean on Him and wants to help you through the struggles and through the trials. And it's through Him we can get through them. That's what God's wanting to do. Isn't it amazing to think of that God's done all of this? Oh my, He knows every hair on our head. He designed the smallest atom of the universe. He designed the biggest star, the biggest sun, the whole, how science works. I could go into hours of how physics and all of that stuff works. Just study the human body. God designed all of that. God built all of that down to the finest detail. And He wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants you to lean on Him. That's amazing just to think about that. That's the God we serve. The world serves their own God. The world serves the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you what, He's never going to come through for them. He's never going to help them in the dark times. He's never going to help them when they need it. But the God of heaven, He will help you in the dark times. He will help you when you need it. Number four, look with me in verse 4. We see, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life." Number four, God showing us His passion. You know who God's passion is for? Going back to what we just established, this is the same God that created the entire universe, from every atom to every sun, in 6 days. And then like a good Baptist, He rested on the seventh. That's a joke, y'all can laugh. This is the God that designed every single cell in my body. This is the God that designed the sky, the earth. This is the God that created heaven and hell. This is the God that created everything. Time itself He shaped. And out of all of that, His passion, what He loves the most, is you and me. He did all of that because He loves us. That's His passion, to the point that He was willing that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, He was willing and to send His Son to die for you and for me. Can you imagine that? Can any one of you say that you would send your child willingly to go die for another? I know I can't. I'll tell you right now, if I was in that position, I wouldn't send Luke, I wouldn't send Owen. I couldn't do it. But God did. God sent His Son for you and for me. And we see His passion, that He's loved mankind from the Garden of Eden to current day. Anybody who has lived, is living, or will live, God has a passion for, and He wants to see them saved, and He wants to have a personal relationship with them. And part of that relationship is us just leaning on Him, just relying on Him and depending on the Lord. And that's what God wants. We see His passion. Number five, look with me in verse 5. Once again, we see Him say, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him." Oh, by the way, right quick, we're going to discover the whole meaning of life right here. You know, all those philosophy guys that are wondering, well, what's the meaning of life? Well, we see it right here. I have created him for my glory. It's that simple. Just thought I'd throw that out there, okay? I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We see His promise. We see that God doesn't want us to worry. And that whatever happens in this life, whether it be good or whether it be bad, if the government tomorrow would say, we're banning Christianity, if you're a Christian, we're going to kill you. If they were to do anything like that, guess what? God's still there. God is still going to be there no matter what happens, no matter what trial comes along our way, no matter what circumstance, no matter what happens in this life. It's never going to dethrone God. It's never going to cause God to get out of His place. God is always going to be there. That's His promise. His promise is, hey, I'm going to be right with you. I'm going to be right next to you during these times. I can help you. I'm going to help you. That's the promise that we have from our own Heavenly Father, is that we can rely on Him. Because He's right there. So many times we often, I've heard it before, and we often hear the expression or complaint, well, God has left me. There was a gentleman I know very well, I respect very well. Last year, he and I were talking, and a lot of things were going on in his life, and I was just trying to comfort him. And he made that statement. Now, a lot of the stuff that was going on was really his fault to begin with. I wasn't going to tell him that, though. Awful bedside manner. But he made that statement. He said, God has left me. I started thinking about it, and I never do this, just never. I kind of went off on him. Told him, sir, no. God has not left you. Whenever we think that God has left us, what it is in actuality, God has always stayed where He is. We're the ones leaving God. We're the ones walking away from Him. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he is the one that walked away from God. He is the one that committed sin with her, lust and desire and adultery, and then murdered a man, tried to cover it up. He's the one that walked away from God. And we see in Psalm 51, him trying to reconnect with Him. And guess what we find out there in that principle there is that God was still there. God was right where David left him. It was David that chose to walk away in sin. God is not like us. He's 100% faithful. And He's always going to be where He said He was. Now you and me, we're sinners. We're not 100% faithful. And when we start to think, well, God has left us, let me reassure you, friend, God has not left you. Why don't we start re-examining where we're at and see that we have gotten away from God. It's time for us to get closer to Him. It's in the arms of the Savior where we're safest the most. It's closer to God where, and in the will of God where He can protect us and He can help us and get us through those struggles and trials. You know, Saul, he walked away from the Lord. You look at that story, and really, Saul's the one that left the Lord first when he decided to follow his own will and not the will of God. What would have happened had he stayed with the Lord? How much of the Old Testament would be different if Saul would have just stayed doing what was right? My friend, His promise is the fact that He's never going to leave us. His promise is the fact that, hey, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I forget to read my Bible today or pray today, let me tell you what, I know exactly where to find Him. He's in the exact same spot He was yesterday. And I can make it right, and I can go to Him and ask for forgiveness and start to make things right. Five things the Lord shows us about Himself: His authority, His place, His position, His passion, and His promise. And I praise the Lord that that was all alliterated. That's my first message I've ever done with fully alliterated, so I'm kind of proud of myself. It took me a while looking in a thesaurus, okay? That's a lot of work. But we see that's what God is. God wants you to know about that tonight. Just as He was telling the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, hey, this is who I am. Let me show you who I am. God wants to show you that too. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as your Savior, you don't know where you would go if something were to happen to you tonight. God wants you to know that too. God wants you to know that He loves you. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, and that through His blood, we can go to heaven when we die. If you're here tonight, you've never asked Jesus to save you, I'd urge you, let's get that settled tonight. If you're here tonight, and maybe we're not quite right with God, maybe we need to get that settled tonight. If you're here tonight, and you're going through a struggle and through a trial, can I just remind you, can I just try and be an encouragement to you? He'll help you through it. God will help us through it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd urge you, if the Lord spoke into your heart tonight, let's get that settled. Let's remember what the Lord has promised us. And just realize that though we go through some trials and some circumstances, hey, God is still there. Preacher.